Hello and welcome to the Label Sessions Presents podcast. Label Sessions is the world's leading innovation expert network. In this series, you will meet some of the most interesting leaders anywhere, from across the worlds of business, design, tech, culture, and sustainability, all signed to the Label Sessions roster. To find out more about our work, helping brands and institutions around the world take on their big challenges for the future, head to labelsessions.com to find out more. For now, enjoy the podcast.
Deepo, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me today. We know you, someone at Label Sessions, as a visual storyteller and a creative advocate, but I feel like you can give me a much better intro than I ever could. I'd love for you to tell me a little bit about you, your work, and sort of the backstory that gets you to where you are today.
Oh, hi, Josh. Thank you for having me. It's a privilege. I'm glad to be here with you today. So basically, I didn't start out as a creative. I didn't even consider myself to be a creative person in the beginning, right? The way I fell into this line of work is when I got into the university, I had a passion for how things work, right? So I went to school to study physics because I had a passion for how mechanics work, how machines work. I used to play around with a lot of things, pulling them apart just to understand how they work, right? But I went into school in the university and I realized that the reality on ground is different. I mean, studying physics is a lot of mathematics, a lot of theory, a lot of things that were not necessarily hands-on. And here in Nigeria, it's a bit harder to get hands-on practical work that is really meaningful and all of that. So a lot of theory. Then I began to fail. I was failing very, very roughly in school. So I was advised to change departments. I moved from physics to geography and planning. So it was at this switch, at this point of change. So there's something here in Nigeria. Once you hear that, with this course, you can do anything, just know that you're down towards the path of hardship, right? Because it gives you very limited opportunities. Some courses give you very little. So geography and planning was considered to be one of those courses, right? So I thought to myself, how do I come out of this situation? So I realized I needed to learn how to learn, right? So I started painting. I started drawing. I mean, I had the skill a little bit. I knew how to draw. I knew how to paint a bit. But I started drawing, painting, trying to get better at honing my creative skills in that line of creating art. So through that process, I was able to learn how to learn. I went through school, studied geography and planning. I came out with a 4.32 GPA. At the end of the day, I came out very, very well. Out of 5 points, I came out with 4.3. So that's something I knew that I achieved going to school. And learning how to learn just helped me ease through the process, right? But by this time, I was already drawing, I was creating designs, I was making art, basically. So right after school, I got an advice from one of my uncles, and he told me, he said, sometimes you just need to focus on an industry, right? What industry do you want to work in? So I thought about it, that where can I apply my creative skills, right? And that was how I became an art director. So I went to advertising school first. I studied strategy, studied art direction, studied copywriting, a little bit of copywriting and strategy, more of art direction, because that was my forte. And that was how I ended up as an art director in advertising, basically. So literally that's the story of what got me to where I am today. That was how it started.
Brilliant. Brilliant. Really, really comprehensive there. I find it really fascinating that, it's not necessarily that you fell into it, but something that, you had a transitional point of coming from like a sort of physics background into creativity is a really interesting sort of transition point, like you say. And it's nice to hear a little bit of that backstory. Just as a quick note of where you are today, I'd love to talk about, what's keeping you busy right now.
What keeps me busy today is what I currently do as an art director. I basically solve problems for brands, visually and strategically, right? So because I started out as an art director, I'm able to understand the strategy behind what execution looks like, in a meaningful way to the brands that I work on, right? So, you know, I started off creating hats. I started off creating designs. Things for my personal self. It's a different conversation when you're doing it for someone else and doing it for the purpose of solving problems. So I learned through the process. Right now, I try to solve brand problems, you know, creating visuals that literally emphasize what the campaigns are about, trying to come or bring to life creative ideas, co-creative ideas, to make sure that at the end of the day, we're not just creating for creating's sake, but we're creating to actually solve brand. So my day-to-day right now is just comprised of solving brand problems from a visual point of view or execution point of view. And I do that on as professionally as the work I do for the company I work with. But on the side, I also do a lot of strategic work for brands because I told you I also trained in strategy. It just helps me gear towards the line of a creative director. You know, a creative director needs to really understand the business goals, the brand goals. You need to understand some top-level conversations so that you're able to cascade that information to the teams that you work with or the teams I work with, and you're able to bring something that is meaningful to life, basically. So that's what keeps me busy these days.
Nice. What is it that's exciting you right now in your field? You know, you work in brand and you're working for such a big company like AB InBev right now. What opportunities do you feel like are emerging, or maybe challenges that you feel like could be important to sort of tell the stories for these brands?
I think one of the biggest opportunities I have so far is to be able to work with global brands, right? And I don't take that for granted at all, because there's something that working with global brands does to your creativity and your level of thinking that just changes everything for you. So when I started my career, I started with a lot of smaller brands, you know, people trying to solve little business problems here and there, right? And I'm passionate about storytelling. So taking it upscale to global brands like Budweiser, some of the brands that we work on, Lionfish and the rest of them, it's meaningful because the landscape keeps changing every day. And, you know, it is difficult when you try to engage as a personality than when you're engaging as a brand, because the consumers, they don't care about you as much as you think that they do, right? They just see you in passing. They see your communication. People put their lives worth into the works that we put out as brands, right? But the consumer just sees it and they swipe right. So the drive to try to craft something that they would want to stay on for 2 seconds more is literally, it's mind-blowing. And for big brands like the ones we work on at ABI. So the whole idea of the landscape changing every single day, the conversations we had 2 years ago is different from what we are having on our global mega brands right now. It's a different conversation entirely, and those things actually help in building the things that we care about as advertisers, as creatives, basically. So there is it is very important that we don't create in isolation, right? So it's very important that we go to the consumer, we draw out the insights from them, and we don't draw vanity metrics, we draw out meaningful insights, and really use those insights to craft meaningful campaigns and solutions for the consumer. That's the only way we'll be able to engage with them. From a big brand platform as well, I think AI is another thing that interests, right? It's another emerging technology, something everybody's talking about, right? But I'll be very honest with you, Josh. As big as AI is around the world, for countries like Nigeria, where I am based, it's still a difficult conversation, right? Mm-hmm. It's still a difficult conversation because in as much as you create stuff, it doesn't necessarily resonate, right? So right now, where I see AI living is it's still at the idea generation phase. So as they for the brands that I work with, AI is still a tool for idea generation, not necessarily the end result you show to the consumer. Because I know I've seen a lot of ads, I've seen executions that, okay, they say this is created by AI, but it's not really there yet for our consumers, especially here in Nigeria. So in as much as we as creatives use these tools, we just use them to come up with the ideas, to develop the ideas, and to craft our work faster. It helps us create faster, right? But not necessarily what we show to the consumers at the end, because it doesn't resonate with them. And this is coming from data, right? This is coming from data of the little that we've done, what we've tested, what we've tried. AI doesn't resonate directly with the consumer, especially in our market. So it's something we are still learning to get better at using, basically. So that's where we are at in my field.
Nice. There's a lot to unpick there. You know, talking about AI, obviously that being the hot ticket item right now. But, you know, I'd love to delve a little bit more into, you know, some of the questions that someone like leaders such as yourself in art direction should be asking themselves right now. Is it strictly about, you know, tailoring, you know, your art direction and brand direction to, you know, strictly consumers and insights? Or is there other questions, including AI as well, if that's part of the case, that really are, you know, think stuff that people should be asking themselves right now, so to speak?
So I think questions that leaders should ask themselves right now, if I get you correctly,
mm-hmm.
Yes. Is because, like I said before, the landscape keeps changing.
Yeah.
The landscape keeps changing, and it's changing so fast that you spend time creating something, and then the audience that you create for swipe right really fast.
Yeah, absolutely.
So studying the market trends here in Nigeria, let me give an example. This just nails it home. So at some time last year, the market here in Nigeria, the Gen Z, right, they were in tune with raves. Raves, partying, just being outside, trying to so concert style experiences, concert style experientials. So a lot of brands jumped on these executions. You see a lot of brands throwing parties. You see a lot of brands plugging into events, right? Mainly rave type events, right? And the truth about rave type events is that after some time, people get tired, right? It's not as immersive or as personal as you as a brand want it to be, because or what happens, you plug into an event, then you're given a booth, right? Like for the company I work with, you are given a booth, you set up your drinks, a bar, you get consumers come in, you give them the drink, they walk out or they purchase or whatever it is. It doesn't really solve a problem for the brand except awareness. So what it does for the brand is just visibility and awareness, not necessarily engagement, not necessarily an immersive experience into the brand world, right? Mm-hmm. What leaders like myself and maybe even higher-ups, right, the decision makers need to focus on a bit more is creating immersive experiences for the consumers. And a lot of brands are already doing that this year because, right, the rave partying, loud partying, DJ and everything, that mm-hmm. phase has passed. What brands are doing now, what brands need to pay more attention to now is creating immersive experiences through storytelling for the consumers. And what this immersive experience means is you craft a party or an event for not more than, say, 50 to 100 people. Right? Mm-hmm. Make it immersive. Make them feel like a family. Make it feel like a community. Right? And then blow this up online. Blow it on digital. Blow the micro content you're able to get from, because the production, everything needs to be invested smartly. Right? Then blow this conversation online in a FOMO-driven way. Right? So that people see these bits of content and they're like, oh, this looks like a nice community. This looks like an experience I want to be a part of. I don't know if I can call brand names here, but some brands have already done this. So what brands do now is they have these party houses, right?
Mm-hmm.
A party house. It's a small house. They have games. They have immersive experiences. Then maybe every weekend they host some set of people, not too many people, but then you blow up these contents online. You create snackable contents from this event, right? And then it just hits home for those at home. You have awareness, you have FOMO, you have a lot of people trying to get into this experience because it feels so exclusive, right?
Yeah.
And this is the concept that Seth always talks about. Seth Godin, in his book, This is Marketing, there was an idea he shared there that, are you creating exclusivity? Or is it something that's your niche? Is it for the elite or is it exclusive, right? So for brands that are not for the elite, right, what you can do is create something exclusive for the consumers. And once you're able to do that and drive the conversation online, digitally, I think it's going to be a win to get the results that the brands are looking for, awareness, brand power, and the rest of them like that. Basically,
that's a brilliant example to put forward there, and you've given me a really good insight into, you know, how you work as a leader. But I'd love to ask you directly, what is it that makes you tick on a day to day? What is it that makes you sort of, you know, your brain work as a leader in brand?
So that question is very, very it's personal to me, because how do I explain that the thing that I am most passionate about is actually passing on the things that I know or the things that I've learned onto people that are just coming out, right? People that are just starting out their career, people that are just are beginners, basically. So what makes me tick is the message I try to put on all my digital platforms. And it's a simple tagline: just create. I believe everybody is a creative, right? I believe everybody is a creative. I believe everybody is born a creative. And like Chris Doe would say, people grow out of creativity, right? So as newborns, we are born into creativity. We start out as creatives, and then a lot of people grow out of creativity, right? They just find out that they lose touch with their creative side. So my mantra as an individual personally, is to push the narrative that everybody is a creative. The conversation we are having now is a sort of creation, right? In day-to-day tasks, regardless of the field, is a sort of creativity. So what makes me tick inherently is to help people tap into their creative side, tap into what really matters to them, and draw out some level of creativity from them. So I try as much as possible not to forget what it's like to be a beginner, right? The beginner's mindset is something that I always try to remember. And that's why I document my process online. I document my process on LinkedIn, just to show that, to remind myself that there was a time I didn't know anything and there was a time I didn't know so much. And I know that in the future, I would learn from what I am doing today, basically. That's what makes me tick in summary.
No, that's brilliant. And that's it's a really healthy mindset that you have there in terms of, you know, just create and, you know, having a support structure really, you know, nurtures creativity too. And I'd love to hear a little bit about, you know, what advice would you give a younger Deepo?
I think an advice I would give a younger Deepo would be to do. And in as much as I pride myself as someone that did back then, because I didn't overthink the things that came to my mind, and which is why I still keep pushing just create till now. As soon as the idea drops in my head, I go ahead to execute. You know, I told you before that I learned how to learn. So it's easy for me to learn quickly and execute. So I've done spoken word. I play the keyboard. I play the drums. I paint. I draw. And all of these were just ideas that popped in my head. And I just had to, okay, I want to learn how to do this thing. And I just did it. So an advice I'll give myself would be maybe to even do a whole lot more. I think that's one very good advice I would give my younger self.
Brilliant. I mean, it goes back to what you're saying before of just, you know, the mantra of just create. You know, it's where all things begin. It sounds like creativity goes all over the place, which is a great thing, you know.
Yeah.
Bringing it back into, you know, the realm of brand that you're in, when you look around the industries that you work in, obviously, you know, it's very dependent on the client. You know, it could be from something like beverages, or it could be something different entirely. But looking at that in the wider world, where do you see the opportunities to really reinvent the way things are done in not just brand, but in creativity?
I think it boils down to, in terms of reinventing the way things are done, right? It boils down to how we address the subject of creativity in itself. We need to understand what the place of creativity is within the ecosystem of solving brand problems, right? We need to understand the positioning and what it does within solving brand problems, because it cannot exist in isolation, right? It can't exist in isolation. You can't put all the stress on the creatives and then expect that everything will come out well. So everything needs to be balanced. The trade, the trade execution, the digital execution, digital platforms, distribution, every layer of the business needs to be considered strategically. And I think brands need to also create an ecosystem that brings everybody into the room. I think we are able to solve problems faster if I, as a digital executor, understand what is happening with distribution. I'm able to craft more meaningful solutions for them. So brands need to begin to think of their problems within an ecosystem as opposed to solving them in isolation, right? So let the trade people be in the room. And trust me, Josh, I'll be honest with you, this is a very difficult thing to do, especially for brands. Everybody thinks they have it figured out. Everybody thinks they know what they are doing. So going into the year, the one white piece, the 1 year plan should come together from everybody. There should be an holistic view of what we want to achieve, rather than marketing doing their own, trade doing their own, sales doing their own, and then we are looking for how to mix and match the ideas together, right?
Yeah.
Let's have an overarching goal and let this boil down to the rest of the team, and let everybody have an hyper-focused, hyper-directed pathway towards achieving the result that the top-line thinking has set out to achieve for the year, basically. So, like I said, brands need to be more holistic in their approach rather than isolated problem-solving, basically, because even within creativity, right, you can't solve creative problems in isolation. I need my copywriter. I need my my strategist. I need everybody on the team to be able to come together, have meaningful conversations, understand where we want to go, and then execute based on what we've agreed to go with. That way, we're able to move faster. We're able to iterate, cancel out what doesn't work, and even move forward with what would most likely work. So that's what I think about emerging market and brands.
No, that's a really great answer there. And obviously, you know, like you say, it is a really difficult path to follow, but treating it more like an ecosystem is a really, really smart way of going about how you tackle things, not just as a creative, like you say, but as a business too. But that leads in really nicely to our quickfire question. So it's a bit of fun ones to wrap up the podcast. Hopefully fun, who knows, but starting us off. Could your friends explain what it is that you do?
Yeah, I think my friends will say I'm a creative madhouse, right? they would try to explain, but they would tell me things like, because I've asked them, right? And they'll tell me things like, today I see you with a camera, you're shooting. Today, tomorrow you're drawing. Tomorrow you're playing the keyboard. So they'll just be all over the place, right? Then they'll say tomorrow you're designing. But they will try, but let's just say they all see me the way I position myself to them. So some people think I'm an artist. Some people think I'm a designer. Some people think I shoot videos, right? But the summary of everything they say is I'm a creative, basically.
Nice. And, you know, you've given some really great advice over the past half an hour or so, but I'd love to know, what's the best advice that someone's ever given you?
I think the best advice that I've received came from my understanding that the lack of access to mentors shouldn't be the thing that holds you back from actually growing or progressing. Because that was something, that's a personal problem I had. So the best advice would most likely be the one that pushed me out there to seek mentors from different facets, different fields. So I could tell you Chris Doe is my mentor. I could tell you Gary V is my mentor. I could list a whole lot of people. But that advice really helped me, which is seek the mentors, right? Seek them. You don't need to have a personal relationship with them. You don't need, they put out a whole lot of content. They put out a whole lot of work out there. Seek them and tap into the various things they have to offer and build yourself from this. Pick what works for you. Drop what doesn't work for you and have the ability to move on from there, basically. So that really changed my trajectory, and it has helped me in how fast I grow. So right now I'm reading books. I mean, I've read a lot of books. I watch a lot of podcasts. I try to develop the things that and own my skill by myself without access to these mentors directly, because like I said, again, in Nigeria, it's very hard to do some of these things. Yeah.
No, that's great. It shows a real sort of thirst for knowledge and thirst for creativity that you have. And, you know, the next one that I have for you is, what's one thing that you could not live without?
One thing I would not be able to live without is an ability to create, right? And It is as small as my pencil. I don't think I can live without my pencil or my barrel. This is one thing I know I can't live without. Because I do ink sketching as well. So there was a time I used to draw with pencil, right? And there was a period I didn't have pencils. And I only had pen, so I had to learn how to draw with a pen. And so I can't do with something I used to write. I love writing. I would always want to have my pen beside
me. Fantastic answer. And that leads in really nicely to the last thing that I have for you. And it's a question we ask everyone, and it's a bit of our trademark. That being, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the most, how weird are you, Deepo?
I'll give myself a 7. A solid 7. A solid 7.
Lucky 7, too.
Yeah. And it's 7 because I get that a lot. You know, as creatives, we sometimes drift into this world of our own. In our minds, I don't know if there's this book, The Creative Act by Rick Rubin, and that book really helped me tap into a whole lot deep within myself, right? So sometimes we just go off and we are in our heads trying to pull things together. So I would give myself a 7 because that's what best describes it on that scale.
And that is a great place to leave it for now, Deepo. Thank you so much for your time. I really do appreciate it, and hope you're well.
Thank you very much for having me, Josh. I really appreciate the opportunity to have this conversation with you today.
As we close out another episode, make sure to like, subscribe, and follow us on our social channels. Want to access Label Sessions for your brand? Whether you want to build new products, access world-class mentors for your team, or reinvent the way you attract talent into your business, visit Label Sessions to find out more.